Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I know some people are very private with their problems and their ailments, and I wasn't trying to pry anything, but I think it's good for us to know what's going to take place one of these days, praise the Lord, not have to worry about. The book of Revelation says these are the former things of life, and they'll be gone. And I have been blessed beyond measure with relatively good health, and I thank God for that. But I do know one thing, as the days go on, there will be things that take place. And for these bodies are not made for eternity. That's why we have to have a new body. And things wear out, things break down, things hurt. But I'm glad He's already suffered all that for us. And so therefore He knows. He knows my ailments. He knows my problems. He knows my difficulties. And praise the Lord for that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Well, that's a great witness, isn't it? By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. The book of Hebrews lists, turn me down just a little bit on this pull. The Bible lists a whole lot of things about people. We mentioned a while ago, Genesis chapter 5 says, and he died. That was through a natural process that we are all going through at this very moment. We're all headed toward the grave. You get in Genesis chapter 4, you have two men mentioned, Cain and Abel. Cain is not mentioned too much after that, but Abel is put over here in Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament in what we call God's Hall of Fame, by faith. Abel says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And the last words of that verse says, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I want to think just for a few minutes this morning. We'll not keep you much over time because of things going on. But I want to declare to you this morning that the dead can speak. Abel offered a good sacrifice. He offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God because it was the right kind, but he did it by faith. Faith is defined in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. It's evidence of things hoped for. It tells us that faith is that which we long for, we desire, and it's the evidence. And so in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, it gives us the definition. But in chapter 11, verse 2 through 40, it gives us the declaration of faith. Those that lived by faith. Those that not only lived by faith, but they died by the same faith. And Abel is that one in that verse that we read that had a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He that is dead yet speaketh. Cain rose up this morning. Turn back, if you would, just a moment to Genesis chapter 4. We'll not read all these verses, but we'll read a portion of them. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that Adam and Eve had children and bare Cain and Abel. Abel's a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. They two different men, two different ways of life. But they had the same parents. And they had the same teaching. One took that teaching and accepted it. One tried his own way. And you know the story, Cain and Abel, how that they brought a sacrifice, one of the firstling of the flock, Abel. And then Cain brought an offering. And the Bible says that God had not respect God did not accept the offering or the sacrifice that Cain brought because there was no blood. From the very beginning of the book of Genesis all the way through the book of the Revelation, you'll find that everything related to eternity is because of the blood. And primarily it's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is typified to us many, many times over in the Old Testament. It is given to us in reality in the New Testament, where the Bible says that the Lamb of God shed His blood. And in that shedding of blood, we have salvation. Now, Cain heard the same message that Abel heard. Somebody says, what kind of message do you think they heard? You see, Adam and Eve had already fallen from the things of the Lord. They are now sinners. They know right from wrong. They took of the fruit that God told them not to take of. And the Bible says that they covered their nakedness with the fig leaves. They tried their best to cover their sin. No blood. And the Bible says that Adam heard the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And God put forth this statement, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I'm hid over here because I'm naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? You see, they've fallen from the innocency that God had placed them in. Now their eyes are open just like the devil said they would be. And they begin that process of dying because they sinned against the Lord. And so the Bible goes on to tell us there in those early chapters of the Genesis that instead of the fig leaves that they tried to cover their nakedness, that the Bible says that God killed animals and covered their nakedness. It took the blood to do that. Now, I believe that Adam and Eve were very well versed in understanding that their salvation, that we would call it, was because that God covered their nakedness and something had to die in order for that to happen. And the Lord had given them command to offer sacrifices to Him. You'll never have a sacrifice that's a real sacrifice until there's shedding of blood. Now Cain and Abel heard the same message from mom and dad. So these two boys, they grow, they hear the message, they have their own way of life, and it comes time for them to sacrifice. And the Bible says that Abel offered the firstling of his flock. He was a keeper of the field, or the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground, and he brought probably his best. Only problem was, no blood. You see, man has always tried to substitute what God says is the way to do it. And so, God refused Cain's offering. And the Bible says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord, in verse number 6, Genesis 4, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, or why are you angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you sad? You see, God knew that Cain knew what he should have done. So why are you angry? Why are you angry at me because you didn't do what you were told to do? You know, sometimes we get angry at the person that delivers the message to us that we should do, and we get angry at that instead of where we are. And here, Cain is very wroth. He's very angry. And he's angry at God because he would not take his offering. The Lord gives a space here for repentance in verse 7. If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. Cain, if you will offer a blood offering, won't you be accepted? Why, sure he would. He had his opportunity. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The dead do speak. Abel offered his sacrifice. Abel had his salvation. Abel had his suffering. And now Abel has his sermon. He tells the world that it's by the blood and only. It's the message of salvation. You see, Abel was not saved because that he was the son of Adam and Eve. He was not delivered because of who he was or his occupation that he had. He was not delivered because of some religious ceremony that he went through. But he was delivered, he was saved through his offering. His offering was one of the firstlings of the flock. He gave a blood sacrifice, and he did just exactly as God had given to Adam and Eve to do. God respected the blood, and God disrespected the works. You see, Cain, when he brought the best maybe of his field, it's still the works of his hands. It was what he accomplished. It's what he did. It's what he was able to get out of the ground because he tilled it, he worked it, he sweat. He did all the things that was needed in order for that seed to prosper and to grow and to make more seed. So it's all a result of what Cain did. See, God doesn't want us because of what we do. God wants us because of what He did. God desires that we come to know Him because of what He did on Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died. And the message here is the sacrifice that was given. It was a sacrifice of an offering that was pleasing unto the Lord. And so therefore the Bible says, Cain, what have you done? What have you done? Or what's happened to Abel? And Cain, I'm sure in his arrogant attitude, maybe he says, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. Well, he did know where he was. For he knew he had killed him. And the problem with Cain is that God knew where he was also. Just like when God came to Adam and says, where art thou? God knew where Adam was. He knew where exactly what had taken place. And he says, what has happened and why? What have you done? And God says, I hear the voice of thy brother's blood crieth to me from the ground. Cain would not sacrifice the offering that was needed and had to be given and the blood had to be shed. But now he offers his brother. He kills his brother and the blood of his brother cries to God from the ground. And that message goes on and on and on that salvation is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message from the grave and the dead do speak and can speak. And here we find that Abel brought the firstling of his lambs, of his flock, and it shows his affection. He gave the best that he had. He gave the very most important part of his flock. And if we're going to love the Lord, if we're going to do what God has, I'm glad God gave us His best also. And if we're going to follow His direction and follow what He is, we need to give God our best. And so the voice of the blood of Abel cries from the ground. And that's why it says in verse 4 of Hebrews 11, God testifying of His gifts, and by it He being dead yet speaketh. The sacrifice was given, the sacrifice was slain and offered unto the Lord. And the Bible says that God respected that. That was exactly what had to be done. The lamb was pure, the lamb was precious in the sight of Abel. He gave the best that he had. I'm glad this morning that I can read through the Scripture and know that God gave the best that He had. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave that one that was willing to lay His life down. No man took His life from Him. He laid His life down in order that I might have a life to raise and be born again into the family of God. We know that the lamb had to be pure according to the book of Exodus. We know that the lamb was precious, the Lord Jesus Christ is the precious Lamb of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ was perfect. He was born a perfect person. He lived a perfect life. He died a perfect, perfect sacrifice. And when John saw Him coming toward him at the Jordan River, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And then he said, that taketh away the sin of the world. And the only way that Jesus could take away the sin of the world was that He had to be the perfect sacrifice that one day His blood would be shed. It's the message Here we find as Cain hears from the Lord, Cain brings his fruit of the ground, an offering to the Lord. Abel brought a sacrifice, Cain brought an offering. Difference in that. Cain brought something that was alive and then had to die. Or Abel did, and Cain brought that which was the work of his hands. The Lord had respect to Abel, but He did not have respect to Cain. Now we see the attitude of Cain. We see the attitude of sin. We see the message of being angry and sinful attitude against God. He was wroth. He was angry. God, you took Abel's offering. Why didn't you take mine? You took his, but you wouldn't take mine. Why would you not do that? And all along, I believe Cain knew why God didn't take it. Because I believe Adam very seriously told his children, it's because of sin, blood had to be shed. I know it's been a long time ago, I know it's been centuries ago that this happened, but it still speaks, the blood of Abel still cries from the ground. It's only through the shed blood, it's only by the death of that which was innocent. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 16, verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. That's the attitude of sin. They hear the message, they see the message, but they blaspheme the name of God. And the Bible says, and they repented not to give Him glory. In Revelation 16:11, then blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. You see, again, they're blaming God for what takes place. That's in Revelation 16. We'll be there in a few weeks, and we'll see exactly what that's dealing with. But these men that are rejected because of their attitude toward God, they blame God, and they will not repent. They turn farther away from God. Their minds go farther away from God, and the Bible calls that a hardness of the heart. And they're not able and will not accept. Cain's offering made him, or rejection of his offering made him angry. His offering was a willful sin and a willful rejection of what God gave. People die this morning that sits in churches just like this because they will not accept the sacrifice of the Lord. There are people that are sitting in churches this morning that if they live their life as they continue to live it, they're going to die without God, even though they hear the truth and they reject it. There are people, you knock on their doors, you talk to them, and they reject it because they will not receive. They will not accept it. And knowing the judgment of God, I've had people tell me, I know I'm going to go to hell. Well, if you know so sure that you're going to go to hell, why don't you make a change in life and trust the Lord? If a person knows that hell is waiting them, then what's the problem? It's a willful rejection of the Word of God. It's a willful disobedience to what God tells us. Man doesn't want to do it God's way. Man has his own way. I can do it better. I can build a tower to heaven. I can build it and get to where God is. And I can climb the ladder and I can do the best. And I can just do everything in my power to be the best thing for God. And I'm a good little Christian. Problem is, if it's not with the blood, you're not a good anything. And so we find here that the message gives to us that's a message of sin. Cain was willful in his disobedience. The Bible says in the book of Romans, speaking of the world, Romans chapter 1, the Gentile world says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in doing them. They know God's judgment. They know that's wrong. They know it's sinful. They know that God is going to judge it, but they're going to do it anyway, and they have fun doing it. That's a willful rejection of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Willfully ignorant of the fact of God's creation. How many people today are willfully ignorant that God created in the beginning? Not some big bang, not some catastrophe, but in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He created them void and empty, and He began to work on it. And the first day and the second day and the third day, all the way through the sixth day, God filled His earth that He created. But the Bible says men are willfully ignorant of the creation of God. The message of Cain that he gives to us is a willful rejection of the Lord. The message of Abel is that he was one that suffered the death because he was living for God. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. They had discussion. They had talk, but he disrespected Abel. He disrespected his offering, and he rose up against his brother and he killed him out of anger. That anger against God now has come down to anger against his brother. Who should Cain have been angry with? Should he have been angry with mom and dad? Oh, we hear that all the time. Well, I'm the way I am because of the way I was raised. Not the way we are the way we are because of what we are. We're sinners. Well, it's mom's fault. It's dad's fault. I'm assured that has a tendency of the way people live, but the bottom line is that we willfully are ignorant of God. Well, I blame this one. I blame that one. Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam said, "That woman you gave me, Lord, she did that." He's really blaming not only the woman, he's blaming God. We always want to put the blame on somebody else instead of taking it, "It's me, oh Lord, it's me." And until we get to the point of understanding, until we get to the point of knowing it's me, it's not my mother, it's not my brother, it's not my father, it's not my sister, it's not my uncle, it's not my aunt, it's not my friends, it's not my association. The problem that I have this morning is not with them, it's the problem with me. And Abel, as he was killed by his brother Cain, the message goes up from the earth. God says, the voice of your brother blood crieth to me, and he speaks from the grave. Cain deceived Abel. He talked with him, probably maybe in a good way. Then he despised him and he rose up against him. Then he slew him. He destroyed him. That's the message of suffering upon Abel. Notice we did not read very much farther in verse number 11. Of Genesis 4, here we find the sentencing of Cain. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." It's a serious thing to God that man drew blood from his creation. That's why we have in the Scripture an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's important. He says, "Now thou art cursed from the earth, which thou hast opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." Cain, you've brought a whole lot of things. You've got good things, but it's not going to work that way now. She's not going to yield her fruit to you, her strength to you. The earth is going to be cursed because of you. And not only that, Cain, you're going to be a fugitive. You're going to be a vagabond. And you're just going to be a nomad roaming the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." That may be the very statement that echoes throughout all eternity of hell. "My punishment is greater than I can bear." What a terrible thing it is for a person to live and die without God. It's doubly bad, so much more bad when a person lives his life and hears the truth and sees the example of truth as Cain did in his brother and sees the blessings of the Lord and sees all that has done and still reject it. Whether we want to think about it or whether we want to preach much about it, it's not an interesting subject. It's not a very conducive subject, but there is a hell to shun. Just as there is a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun away from, and we shun it by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad the blood of our Lord Christ from the ground also. Jesus shed His blood. He didn't spill it. He did it on purpose. He shed His blood. His life blood flowed from His hands, His side, His feet, His forehead. Jesus died on the cross. He shed His blood. And the blood of our Savior cries from the earth, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. The punishment here for Cain was a terrible punishment. No longer will the ground yield to him. Now he's a vagabond. Now he's a stranger. Now he's a traveler. He's going to go from place to place. And he says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And he said, Lord, anywhere I go, they're going to try to kill me. And God put a mark on him, lest anybody kill him and suffer worse. And so we find the blood of Abel cries from the earth. The blood of our Abel, the Lord Jesus Christ, it cries to us that there is a balm in Gilead. There is a salvation. There is a heaven. There is life eternal. There is joy. There is peace. There is contentment. All the good things God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He shed His blood this morning, I'm going to heaven. Because wicked men devised a plan to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ, even though that's the reason He came, men were used to deliver Him as a perfect sacrifice. And there He hung on the cross of Calvary, His blood dripping from His body. And God darkened the sky. Jesus cries out with a loud voice, why hast thou forsaken me? And there the transaction between God and His Son, the forgiveness of man for their sins. The Bible tells us when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn asunder. The veil had always been a separating point. Common everyday person couldn't go behind the veil. Only the priest could do that, and only do that once a year. And the veil is there. Here's the holy place, and here's the most holy place. In that most holy place, you have the Ark of the Covenant and you have the mercy seat. And once a year, the high priest would go in behind the veil and he would sprinkle that blood of that perfect, innocent lamb upon the mercy seat, pushing forward another year the sins of Israel. But there was a day when Jesus died. And for some reason, the earth quaked and the sun darkened. And for some reason, the veil of that temple was torn asunder, making it accessible to anybody. No wonder the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. You see, when that veil was torn, the middle wall of partition, that dividing point was torn down. Now we can go right to where God is. Now we can go where He is. The mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of the Lord, and only the high priest could go there until Jesus died. But thank the Lord, as the song says, Jesus opened up the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way we can get to heaven is go through Him. And that blood was shed, Jesus died, the way was opened, and I'm glad one day I came to His presence and I said, Lord, forgive me my sin. You know why? The blood of the Lamb speaketh from the ground. And that blood says, come. Come now. As Isaiah says, come now, let us reason together. Just let's reason together. A reasonable person will believe what God says. Because God never says anything unreasonable. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. Don't get caught up. I know we all do it. But sin is not black. Sin is red. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Praise the Lord. This morning, probably the biggest majority, maybe everybody in here this morning, we've heard the voice of the blood of Jesus Christ crying from the ground to us, saying, come. But you may be here this morning. Somebody hasn't been saved. You've just never been really opportunity to hear. Faith comes by hearing. The voice of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cries from the ground, says, come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So many times people get saved, they say, oh, I feel like a burden has been lifted. You know why? A burden has been lifted. That's That's the reason. Oh, I feel so much better. I feel lighter. I feel stronger. You know why? Because you are. Sin has been removed. The result of it, the final result of it, of hell, has been taken from us. Now we have our life ahead of us, going to heaven, trusting Him as our personal Savior. Let's stand this morning, and if you're saved, then thank God for what He has done for us. If you're not saved, then we invite you to come. We invite you to hear the blood, or hear the voice of the Lamb of God that cries because He shed His blood one day upon Calvary. As we heard the song this morning, one of these days these old bodies are going to be quickened and made alive. Why? Because the blood was shed. Because Jesus suffered and died for us.